Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Hiring Success Podcast. I'm your host, Kaya, and this month I've been exchanging thoughts on recruitment with a great mind, Matt Alder. Matt Alder is many things. He's a recruitment consultant helping employers with their digital strategies. He has his own podcast called the Recruiting Future Podcast that you should definitely check out if you have not yet. He's also an author. You may have heard of his book, Exceptional Talent, and he also has another book coming up called Digital Talent, so keep an eye out for it. Today, Matt's going to take on the role of the interviewee for our Hiring Success podcast to talk talent, recruiting automation, and creepy robots. So let's hear it. Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us on the Hiring Success podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. An absolute pleasure to be on someone else's podcast for a change. So really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, that must be so funny for you to like be in the other seat.
It makes a pleasant change.
Are you going to start interviewing me? Because I am not prepared for that.
No. You can very much ask the questions. It's fine.
Awesome. So Matt, you are many things. As you mentioned, you're a podcaster, you're an author, you're a consultant, strategist, and I know you have a new book coming out. So I thought maybe you could tell our audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So tiny bit of background to me. I run the Recruiting Future podcast, which is now up to 200 episodes. So have been doing that for quite some time.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I also work as a consultant helping employers with innovation in talent acquisition. And as you say, I am also an author. I co-write with my very good friend, Mervyn Dinnan. Our first book, Exceptional Talent, came out a couple of years ago now, and we're working on the follow-up, which will be out in early 2020, which is called Digital Talent. And it's all about the talent aspect of digital transformation. So companies who are going through a digital transformation, what kind of talent do they need? What kind of skills do they need in their business? And how do they acquire and develop that talent and those skills?
That's so exciting and also very interesting. It sounds like it's kind of a continuation, but could you explain a little more? Is it a break from the other book, or is it more of building on top of what you've already written?
I think it's kind of more of a focusing in. So the first book, Exceptional Talent, we looked at all of the things that the sort of very best practices that companies were doing to attract, retain, and develop exceptional talent, so people who are going to really move their business forward. With this book, we are focusing just on digital talent and, you know, kind of all aspects of that. So it's along similar lines, but it sort of builds on the first book, but focuses very, very much on an area that, you know, for many, if not most employers is, you know, one of their biggest problem areas at the moment. So as we know, you know, the vast majority of companies, if not every company, is going through some kind of digital transformation at the moment. And we're really conscious that lots of things are written and spoken and recorded about digital transformation. But when we kind of did our research, we found that very little, if anything, is ever said about the talent that's needed to make that happen. So we wanted to change that with this book. I've been running a sort of a series of interviews with people on the podcast in parallel, which we're using as case studies. And it, you know, very much along the lines of the first book, but very, very specifically about digital.
Okay, yeah. I think that's going to be... it's so exciting for a lot of people because it is kind of a point of need where, like you said, there's a lot of information out there, but a lot of it's, you know, shorter and kind of just pinpointed. And to have that overall scope and the research that goes into a book, I'm very excited for. So that's really cool. Speaking of exceptional talent, One thing that I think is really interesting is the way that you kind of define exceptional talent and how it's so much looking towards future growth and potential, but how challenging that definition is for people who are used to looking at past experience when they're thinking about hiring people. So I was wondering if you could kind of explain to us your definition of exceptional talent and kind of the challenges that go with that definition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you sort of nailed it in your description there. It's people who can join an organization and really move that organization forward. And that's more to do with, attitude mm-hmm. to learning, attitude to the value they can bring the company, that it is about past experience. And I think when we wrote the first book, that was a reasonably uncommon way of thinking. We found some brilliant companies who were thinking like that, and they were looking at the potential that people had within their the environment that they had to offer, mm-hmm. rather than what someone may have done in a different environment in the past. But it was kind of few and far between. And I think, coming back to it a couple of years later, and looking at it for this book, what I've noticed is it's much more widely accepted as an idea. So, a lot of innovative employers that I'm speaking to, have this as an aspiration in terms of the type of people they should be hiring. And found some great companies and some great quotes about how and I suppose particularly with digital talent, where mm-hmm. There is a massive shortage of people with the right past experience to do some of the jobs, and also such a rapid evolving of the skills that are necessary. So mm-hmm. Someone a business might hire, you might find 6 to 12 months later they need completely new skills that haven't even been invented at the point they were hired. So from that perspective, that kind of outlook, that attitude is kind of absolutely crucial. And I think that's one of the reasons why more companies are aspiring to hire like that. I suppose the problem is within the recruitment process itself, because traditionally mm-hmm. recruitment processes are built around CVs and ways of doing interviews that just examine someone's someone's kind of past history. So mm-hmm. That's a challenge. And I think the other thing that's important to mention is existing skills are important. If you're looking for someone who needs to have PhD level data science skills, then you do need to hire someone with a PhD in data science, because mm-hmm. It may well take too long to train them in terms of being able to add value to the business. So I suppose the extra thing that we're saying now is really evaluating whether you actually need someone with that level of skill. Sometimes companies will put down that they need people with degree level experience because they've not even thought about it. They're just using mm-hmm. it as a filter, or because they always have. So, it's really important. It's really important that you have people with the right skills in the business, but it's important to evaluate exactly what those skills are, mm-hmm. Whether people can develop those on the job, and or how much they need to bring with them. So I think as a way of thinking, it's kind of it's really interesting to see how it's evolving and how it's starting to work in practice.
Yeah, I'm curious. I see employers often kind of inflate the experience or degree necessary to do a certain job, maybe on purpose, because they're like, oh, if we could get someone without experience, it wouldn't hurt. Are you kind of saying that kind of thinking on a job advertisement could actually be hurting the chances of recruiting kind of like on time and on budget?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, employers need to think really, really carefully about what they're actually what they're actually asking for and whether they're asking for that for a valid quantifiable reason, mm-hmm. or whether they're asking because they've always asked or because someone who is good within the organization has that background. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you get someone with the same background, they're going to be, performing the same way as another individual, or whether it's just they're using it as some kind of filter to cut down on the kind of the level of applications that they have. So I think employers need to think really, really carefully about it. I mean, I can think of an example of someone I was working with, and a few months ago they were hiring for someone and they were insisting that this person had a degree, not just a degree, but a degree from a Russell Group university. And, mm-hmm. When I challenged that, they couldn't come up with a single reason as to why, they were asking that. It was just, they just thought that, it would guarantee them a certain type of person. And obviously that's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. These, things that we're kind of like automatically putting into job ads or requests, maybe because we always have or because of an assumption, but it's not.
Yeah, and I think, I forgot what I was going to say next and I've just remembered it. So
yay.
Sorry to interrupt. I think the other thing is when we're talking about digital transformation and digital disruption, I've interviewed kind of a number of sort of experts and commentators on digital transformation who don't necessarily work in the talent space. But interestingly, they've all pretty much said the same thing, which is if you want to disrupt and transform an organization, you need people who have disruptive and transformational thinking. And they may not come from they won't come from the conventional background that companies always hire from. So I think that's another sort of key factor that actually, if you want people who are going to drive change within an organization and disrupt the way the organization thinks, then, you want people who may have had perhaps a more unconventional background to what you're used to hiring. So I think the key thing here is to really, really think about, exactly what is required for the role and, not try and sort of, shortcut that or just do what you've always done because, in a very, very competitive, market for talent, you're not going to get what you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Speaking of disrupting, I was listening to an interview that you did recently where you were talking about early on in the internet, you were trying to convince actually photographers and creatives that this was kind of the future of how their medium was going to be distributed. And I was just wondering what that process was like and how you kind of pitched the internet.
This is the story of my career is I make things difficult for myself. I'm always trying to, rather than existing in the now, I'm always sort of trying to persuade people, they have to change for what's coming next. And, it's served me pretty well, but it's given me lots of gray hair along the way. This would have been back in the mid 1990s. I worked for a photographic agency that was actually owned by Bill Gates, and it was pushing the boundaries in terms of digital distribution of photography and also digital rights of photography. Mm-hmm. And I had this job where I had to go and sell this digital distribution platform to big traditional creative advertising agencies, and I had to walk into creative departments that didn't have a computer and who'd never seen the internet and persuade them that this was the way forward. And it's really interesting because I think it's a great barometer of what transformation and disruption is now. There are a certain amount of sort of people who are very good at their job, but very close-minded about the future and very protective about the way that they worked. And, you know, they kind of resisted change till, you know, change became absolutely inevitable. But then there were some brilliant people who really saw the potential in this and were prepared to put up perhaps with some of the shortcomings because, you know, you know, back then the internet was very slow and trying to download photos over it could take some time. But they were people who kind of saw that this was the future. And if you kind of look back now, this is how all photography is bought and sold. So photography was one of the earlier industries to be disrupted by the internet. And I think, you know, I think that's interesting from the perspective of companies going through, you know, digital disruption now to, you know, whether that's new business models or AI or automation or whatever's kind of going on. It's, you know, it's really important to find those people who are open-minded and up for experimenting and comfortable with ambiguity and things that perhaps don't work quite properly as they don't work as well as they could, because they can see the overall vision of where things are going. Whereas, you know, if people are sort of close-minded and trying to sort of protect the way their job has always been, you know, they're the ones who perhaps find that their job no longer exists in the future. So it's kind of been really interesting to see how humans kind of cope in those circumstances. And it's sort of been repeated time and time again, firstly with the internet and now with, you know, everything that's happening in the way of automation and artificial intelligence and the latest sort of technological developments that we're living through.
That's such a good point that you kind of need to find your partners in transformation, the people that will be evangelists and like really get on board early. I'm curious, bringing this to the now, if there is an idea that you've been pitching around that gets you laughed out of the room or people just don't believe is on the horizon at all, but you really see as the future.
Yeah, that's interesting. Probably at least 60% of everything I say. I think the big one for me at the moment, particularly when it comes to recruitment, is recruiting automation. And I think there's lots of interesting aspects to that. I think you can look at it from a, you know, almost what seems like a science fiction perspective, where you have literally have robots interviewing people, all the way down to some of the things that are practically happening at the moment with people using chatbots and all that sort of stuff. So I'm kind of really interested in recruiting automation. I think it is an absolute inevitability that it's going to happen, because automation is occurring in almost every industry, and you know, an organization as a whole is not going to you know, not automate its recruitment because its recruiters are arguing against it. So it's something that's going to happen, and I think that you know, the smartest recruiters out there and the smartest talent acquisition teams out there are the people who will be leading that change, rather than the ones arguing against it, because I think they have the opportunity to shape it in a way that's good for them, their team, and also good for talent acquisition as a whole, rather than resisting it and having it shaped by you know, procurement or the board or finance or whoever it might be. So I think you know, it's not something that's getting me laughed out of the room, but I think that there are people who do not believe in its inevitability, and it is absolutely inevitable that a lot of talent acquisition will be automated in the future.
And what's your take on recent news stories of the Swedish interviewer robot and the car that was doing interviews? We're all kind of used to this automated maybe scheduling or different kind of more admin tasks. But what's your take on these kind of human tasks being taken over?
So I've actually met the Swedish interviewing robot. I actually had it on the podcast.
Did they hire you?
It's interesting as well, because No, alas not. I didn't. My Swedish wasn't good enough because it's only actually doing proper interviews in Swedish at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I think it's interesting because it kind of highlights the issue, really, because that, you know, the reports and the news around that robot have been, you know, very divisive. Lots of people have come out and called it ridiculous and said that this is gimmicky and this is not where recruiting's going and all this kind of stuff. And other people have kind of embraced it. And I think with these things, you have to look beyond, you know, look beyond the headlines and look beyond the obvious. And when you explore, particularly the interviewing robot, and look at why it's been created by a recruitment company in Sweden. So it's not a case of some nicely funded VC backed entrepreneurs from outside the industry coming in and claiming to disrupt recruitment. It's something that's actually come from within the industry. Mm-hmm. And the strategy behind it is to remove bias in the interviewing process. And I don't think anyone would argue with that as a strategy. Mm-hmm. Now, whether a talking head, slightly creepy robot is the way to do that, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think it's really important to actually evaluate the stories behind, you know, behind the kind of clickbaiting headlines to see what's going on. And I think what's interesting to me about that is, you know, the objective of reducing bias in the hiring process. It's something that everyone talks about, but actually there are very few kind of effective solutions to it at the moment. So, you know, if the solution to it is as radical as that, then that's the solution to it. And I think that, you know, we have to give these things a chance and see, you know, see how people react to them and see if that's what they're going to deliver on them. And for that particular robot, you know, very, very early days at the moment, it's not kind of, you know, it's not in the mainstream yet.
Yeah, definitely not wide use yet, but very, very interesting to see it starting to crop up, and very cool that you pointed out that it is coming from within the industry, which people don't always peg HR and recruitment as, you know, the most forward thinking, but I think that shows that it's kind of changing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the good thing for me is I think we're seeing more innovation coming from inside the industry now. And I think, you know, over the sort of last 5 or 10 years, a lot of the innovation has come from outside of the industry. And you hear that kind of, you know, that cliche of recruitment is broken and we're going to fix it. you know, time and time again with sometimes solutions that just seem absolutely crazy. You know, and sometimes they do stick, but it is good that more innovation is coming from within talent acquisition now, from people who you know, who understand the issues and also understand what's going to work and what's going to you know, what's going to be adopted.
Yeah. That is a really good point. What's actually going to work? Not that we don't love to see some crazy things happen and see what sticks, but.
Oh yeah, absolutely. life would be very boring without the crazy stuff.
Yeah. Without the robot head. Changing gears, for our last question, as we mentioned before, you have your own podcast, the Recruiting Future podcast. You get to talk to a lot of cool people. And I was just hoping for a little dose of inspiration from you. If you could tell us about one of your interviews that really just touched you that we should all go listen to right away after this podcast.
Oh, you're asking me to choose. That's always it's
it doesn't
always
really, mean that the other ones aren't great.
It's always really, really hard to choose because I've been so lucky to have so many great guests on the show. I'm just gonna pick one from outside the industry to be.
You're spinning the wheel and just picking one at random.
Yeah, just to be fair to you know, all my talent acquisition colleagues who've been on the show. We were sort of talking about digital transformation and digital disruption at the start of the show. So I would, if people are more interested in exploring that topic further, I would have a listen to my interview with Tom Goodwin. Tom is EVP of Innovation for Zenith, and he's kind of a well-known commentator on LinkedIn on all things technology and marketing. And I was kind of delighted to have him on the show, and he talks about his take on talent and digital transformation. And he was the he was the one who was talking about having to hire people who are disruptive in order to be disruptive. Mm-hmm. So that's the one I'm going to pick. But okay. The other 199 are all worth listening to as well.
Awesome. Well, we're all going to go listen to Tom now, and we're very excited for it. And thank you so much for joining us today. That was so nice to talk to you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
That was awesome. If you want to carry on the talent acquisition conversation in real life, have a look at the Hiring Success Conference coming up in February 11th through 12th in San Francisco. We have a discount code for our listeners, so if you go to www.smartrecruiters.com/hiringsuccess/Americas and use the code HSPODCAST30, you'll get 30% off. That's HSPODCAST30. All caps. And don't forget to subscribe to be notified each month when we have a new episode out. See you next month.